Hello and welcome to episode 192 of the Saints Score podcast, where we discuss everything going on at Southampton Football Club. Southampton's misery continued at the weekend with a 2-1 loss to Middlesbrough, who collected their first victory of the season. Four consecutive championship losses have seen the Saints sink from 4th to 15th, with there now being more questions than ever around Russell Martin and his tactics. To discuss it all and preview the games against Leeds United and Stoke City, my name is Harry Tizard, and I'm joined by Mikey Mayman and Ollie Boast. And I'll start with Ollie. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing very well. Going back to uni, so nice and busy. But after working for a year, it's going to be nice to go back to the student life. By no means do I mean lots of lay-ins. I'm going to try and keep my sleep schedule somewhat, I don't know what's the word, preserved, I think is the best way to put it. But yeah, I'm doing all right. Bit of a busy one, trying to tie everything up before the end of the week and getting ready to go back. But I'm doing all right. I'm doing okay. I mean, it'd be a bit nicer if the football was nicer to watch on the weekend, but can't have it all, I guess.
Yeah, hopefully that will change soon. Mikey, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm doing well. It's been a good. Well, it had been a good week until the Saturday, and then of course Southampton go on and lose. But no, it's been a good week. How about you, Harry? How have you been?
Jordan, it's always good because I know at some point I'll be here talking about Saints with you guys, and that's what makes me happy. I know, and Ollie's back this week, yeah. So that puts a smile on my face. And you know what? I'll start with you. Right now, we've got more losses than wins in the league this season, which after four games, when we had 10 points, I probably didn't think that was the situation. A game against Middlesbrough, what were your thoughts?
Oh, it was difficult to watch. I was really disappointed in how kind of a lack of, not intensity, but control we had over the game. We seemed really kind of out of it in terms of actually trying to put our stamp on the game, which you really think, looking at the two teams, you should have been able to. But it wasn't right at all. I don't really know whether it's down to the selection, because I wasn't too disappointed with the selection, the team that was picked for the game. I just think mentality-wise, it wasn't really there, which concerns me, because I think we're trying to reinvent ourselves. And I think this is what the frustration with the fans have, is that we're trying to reinvent ourselves. They're not really seeing the benefits of doing this change. And we're not getting the results either. So either way, it's not really working. It's tough to watch. And yeah, fourth loss in a row feels like it's a real cause for concern. It's not even picking up points. It's consecutive losses, which is going to put a dampener on the form, on the players' mentality and morale, which is the main thing for me as well, because we had this real bounce back kind of feeling that we were going to get points in the championship and really push on. But there's teams that seem to be clicking instantly, like the Leicesters and the Leeds look like they're picking up points and looking successful, but we're really struggling adapting to this new style. So yeah, I think for me it was a cause for concern. I think for a lot of fans as well, they are starting to worry and think, well, how long do we have to wait before we start seeing results for this football?
Well, Marky, Ollie's concerns, what are your thoughts overall on the game against Middlesbrough?
I think it's definitely something that it was difficult, as Ollie said. You can tell that things aren't settled at the moment when you watch the game, and even when you don't, you can sort of have a look and see. I think this was the first time we had started with the same midfield two games in a row. I think when you look at the entire team, when you look at across the entire team throughout the fixtures that we've had, we've never had a settled 11. We've constantly been jigging around the place on what players are actually going to play. Mason Holgate playing at right back this game. Walker Peters going over to left back, which I know he's done, but it's different at the moment for all of these players. And I think what you're getting is that the players who are used to playing that style are all new. So they're even still trying to work out what's around them and who's there and whatever. And then the ones that have stayed throughout the summer, who may have thought they would be going, And that could have been a mentality change of they're now no longer playing for a move or whatever, but I don't want to bring that into it. But they were used to playing a physically dominant, less possession of the ball sort of style for the last 4 or 5 years. And then that's been completely U-turned, and now they're being asked to have the ball for 70% of the game. And it's very, very different for them. So I think that's where it comes down, is I understand that some teams look more settled when you compare us to Leicester and Leeds. They look a little bit more settled at the moment and they're getting results for it. But I think by the end of the season, hopefully this would have turned around. And let's reflect back on where we were for our season preview, and what we said on our season preview is that it's going to be a struggling start. And I think where we had that strong start and we got 3 or 4 wins in our first five, I think that was probably due to the fact that, A, they were easier teams. This is probably our hardest stretch at the moment that we've had this season. But also, like, we had James Ward-Prowse and Charlie Alcaraz starting and Nathan Teller and all these players at the start of the year. So I think that does make a difference. But we knew this was going to be a tough start. We knew that it was going to be... it was going to be difficult for the players to get the system instantly, and this is going to take time, and Russell Martin needs that time to make things happen and make it work. But I understand the frustrations and the fact that we had such a good start, we were hoping that this was going to be rolled on, and now it's plummeted and we've got 4 defeats in a row. And also the way that the goals have been conceded are due to the system as well, the players not being used to or just being unsure of what to do in that system. So I understand the frustration of why, but we also knew this was going to happen. And I think it's only because of the start that we had, the frustrations now came over the fact that we're playing teams who arguably are out of position. You'd say Sunderland probably wouldn't have been in the bottom three for the entire year. Middlesbrough probably won't be in the bottom three in the entire year. So, yeah, I think those are sort of the frustrations around the fans at the moment.
Oh, Mikey, he had a look at the team selection there, and looking at the squads overall, do you think that has made quite a big difference in terms of these last 4 fixtures where we've lost 4 on the bounce? You look at the game against Sheffield Wednesday, both Jack Stevens and Jan Bednarek both started. You had Charlie Alcaraz, like Mikey said, in the midfield. You had James Ward-Prowse. You had Nathan Teller on the right-hand side. And a lot of the core part of our squads has been chopping and changing. You look at the team that we put out against Middlesbrough, there are definite strengths across the side, but there's obvious questions around the midfield. People didn't think there was as much balance as there should be, whereas, you know, I thought having Charles as that sort of defensive midfielder behind Downs and Smallbone, I thought that wasn't too bad. But also having Holgate at right back after having a spell out of the team after the Sunderland game, it's been quite tough.
Yeah, it has. And I think you're right. I think it should really either be Downs or Shea Charles. I like both of them. I think they're both good players. But I think it should be Smallbone in that 8. I think you should have a 10. A lot of people have been saying Alcaraz now. The manager says that at the moment he's not quite ready to play. He's not in the right mindset. And he has come on in spells and bursts and looked positive. But for me, I know there's frustrations from the fans saying they really want to see Alcaraz. I get it, because he's a quality player. And you can see what he did in the Prem. He stood out in the Prem. So in the Championship, you think he really would. But on this thing, on the personal side, personal issues, I do trust the manager on this one. You know, he's lost people that would have been good mates to him, like Lianco and Caballero. And yeah, if the manager's coming out and saying that in the press, then I'm just going to respect that. I'm not going to be, you know, shouting for Alcaraz to play if the manager doesn't think it's right. However, I think Shea Charles and Downs felt like two more in front. They seem like both defensive midfielders. Now, whether that's how we were playing, that's probably more of a question for Mikey than it is for myself. But yeah, I do kind of see that imbalance. And I do think, looking back on it, I think Teller is a massive miss, because you look at it and that's guaranteed Championship experience, knowing exactly what it is that needs to be done. And I was really hoping that would happen with the new centre back that we've brought in, Harwood Bellis, that he knows the league and he can bring that instant experience in. But there's a lot of people in that team that don't know the Championship, and this is a a learning curve for them. And I think that's where we're struggling. And having players like Ward-Prowse and Lavia was obviously a luxury, but we knew they weren't going to stay around. So although we would get, like you said, able to get those wins at the start, I think we're going to have to see some new leaders come into the side and see some of that experience come through and kind of adapting themselves as well. Because, yeah, for instance, Alcaraz, we know he can do it in the Championship. We know he can do it in the Prem potentially, but we've got to see that output. And at the moment, we're not seeing enough of that output from enough of those players on that side.
I mean, we started quite well. Adams had a really good one-on-one chance, even though it was just outside the box that he put just wide. Then Adam Armstrong, he scored the opening goal of the game. Downs a lovely ball through to Adams, who disguised a pass down the left-hand side of the box for Armstrong to score. But at that point, you sort of think, we can have control of this game. We've got the lead. The team has to come on to us. They can play our style of play rather than the other way around. And it seems that Martin thought we were passive after scoring. Mikey, how much of a concern is that to you?
It's a big concern. I think, I don't know, in a game where, as much as I say, Borough are probably out of position and they wouldn't be where they are at the end of a season, in a game where you're playing a team who hasn't won a game this year and you take the lead at their ground, surely at that point, that's when you try and assert your dominance and you try and kick on and do more. And I know, like, it could be down to the other team kicking on and doing a little bit more, but we were just quite passive in possession. There were 2, 3, 4 touches on the ball being taken in areas where they shouldn't have been. You would have thought that if you kept, especially whoever's playing in the holding role, if you keep him down to 2 touches, keep the centre half down to 2 touches, you're not going to get caught on the ball. But that then in turn means that your midfield players and your forward players have to be making the movements to make themselves available. And so it's not one way or the other. If there's no passing options to play the ball forward, then of course the centre midfield is going to take 4 or 5 touches on top of that to try and play the ball forward. I think that's the disappointing thing. Sometimes it felt during the game we were just keeping the ball to keep the ball and we were almost waiting to turn over the ball instead of actually trying to penetrate through Middlesbrough. Like it's like what Pep says and Xavi Alonso and everyone who plays this sort of style of system is that you're not just keeping possession for possession's sake. You're keeping possession, trying to move the opposition's block around and then penetrate where those spaces are once you've managed to move them and make their shape dysfunctional. So I think that's still an area where we have to improve, and there's lots of things that we have to improve. And yeah, I'm sort of in agreement with the fan base that maybe our midfield three was slightly too defensive, but again, you are away to Middlesbrough, so it's understandable why. Adam Armstrong, I think, by the end of the season, he'll play every position on the pitch. He's started out right wing this time. He's played striker, central midfield. He'll play left back soon. So I think that's the issue, is that the team's not settled. And if the team's not settled, then they're not going to be able to play this system where you need to know every position inside and out.
But it's also having like the emotional whereabouts that whatever happens, that Martin wants you to play the same way, Ollie. It feels like last week when we conceded first, he was like, well, we conceded, then the hedge dropped, and for the next 20 minutes we didn't react well to the goal. This time we've scored and we haven't reacted well to our own selves scoring. Is it being able to just try and keep that consistency throughout rather than when there's a big game-changing moment, everything changes mentally?
Well, it's interesting because at the start of the season, we would fall behind and we had that kind of, we had a couple of games, we had that kind of last minute winner kind of thing. And the players really had that, excuse me, belief that we are going to get back into this game, and whether it takes us until the 96th minute, we will get back in. But we've seemed to kind of lose our way a little bit in that sense. I thought at the start of the season, it was kind of like, oh, this is good. We will find a way kind of thing. But at the moment, I think teams now know what we want to do. And I think they already did in a sense, really, with Russell Martin's system. You have to look at it and you know, for large spells, we do want to try and maintain and keep the possession. And like Mikey says, move it around and try and manipulate the ball to create those scenarios, but you have to be clinical whenever chances come up, and we didn't really create that many clear-cut opportunities to get a shot on target and really trouble the defense. So in terms of that mentality, it's strange. You think getting that goal, we would push on a little bit more, but we didn't seem to do. And after chasing the game as well, I know we'll go on to a little bit later, but when we're down, we were applying pressure, but it didn't really seem like we were finally going to break through. It felt like we were getting a lot of attacking phases and a lot of corners and stuff like that, a lot of throw-ins, but nothing really, really testing their keeper, if that makes sense. It just felt like sustained pressure rather than, you know, really looking like we were a goal threat. It seems, yeah, their mentality does seem a little bit all over the place at the moment, and not in a good way.
Well, in that case, Mikey, do you think they're almost confused of what to do next, or they don't know how to do whatever they're told to do next? It seems like that middle ground where when there's a big situation that happens in the game, for the next 10 minutes there's a level of, right, what do we do now?
It's not quite automated. Like, it's not their first thought. It's not as soon as they get the ball, they know exactly what they're going to do. And that's because we've had changes in midfield constantly. We've had changes at the back constantly. We've had a massive outgoing this summer. We've had a massive incoming this summer. Like, we've got players who've never played this way before and are trying to adapt to it. And we've got players who are trying to adapt to life at the south, like on the south coast, having never played down here before. So those are the issues, is that we haven't had a settled 11, and that's always going to cause you problems. Because if you don't know what the person next to you is going to do, it always is going to put you a little bit on edge. So that's what we're trying to find at the moment. We're trying to find a little bit of consistency, and at the moment we're struggling to create. We're struggling to keep out. When we give the ball away around our midfield and defensive third, we look so exposed and we look so horrendous. And I think that's the frustration of the fans. It's obvious that the possession style of play isn't working at the moment. And I'm not saying that means we have to stop, because you look at, I think probably one of the examples is Arteta at Arsenal. When he first came in, people were just saying, why are you trying to play this way? Why are you trying to do this if there's obvious mistakes happening? And he said, because this is the way that we're going to do it, and eventually it will work. So that's the hope, is that eventually it'll work, and we'll look like a really good footballing side, and hopefully we'll start winning games. But at the moment, the side is so unsettled because of the massive turnovers, because of the fact that a lot of them are new and it is different for them. So they just have to get used to it. And once they're used to it, we've got a quality of player that is going to be better than most Championship sides. So you would have hoped from that we'll start dominating games more and be able to start winning football matches.
I mean, yeah, in my opinion, there must be patience with Russell Martin. I'm not saying that we're going to win the Premier League, but when you look at the top sides, Manchester City with Pep Guardiola, Liverpool with Jurgen Klopp, Arsenal with Mikel Arteta, and at the start of their transformation, Brighton with Graham Potter, they all had really rough starts. I mean, Manchester City finishing third doesn't seem like a rough start, but their level of expectation was so high that you probably think it would be. When we've lost 15 players that played minutes last season, and you're changing the whole structure of your club from top to bottom, players, and also the way you play as well, things aren't going to happen overnight. And I know it's difficult right now to see it in the long term, but I think, in my opinion, that's the way it has to be looked at. Looking at the first goal that we conceded, the warning signs were there. I think we gave the ball away a couple of times, and then it was Holgate who was the unfortunate one. He gave the ball away and McGee went up and scored. What does the future look like for Holgate, Ollie? I think he's only played two games. He was substituted after 45 minutes in this one, and everyone gives the ball away. It was just unfortunate that for him it's highlighted even more because it led to the goal. And he's had a gap in games in between. Obviously, he played against Sunderland, hasn't played the next couple of games, then starts against Middlesbrough and makes that mistake. Where do you think he is at the moment in terms of his own headspace, but maybe also in terms of the squad and the landscape of the team?
I think he might be a good trainer and not a good game player. I think that might be what it is, because I think Russell Martin's seen something in him. And he's had his opportunity. He had a relatively quick start to the team where he came in under short notice and came in. And Russell Martin took the blame on that one and said, oh, that's possibly my fault because I've introduced him too early. Then he's had some time a little bit away from the team to kind of, again, train, get used to the system. Like we said, playing how Russell Martin wants him to play. And he plays, admittedly, out of position, but he's given the ball away and he basically just hasn't checked his shoulder. He's been kind of nicked out of possession and they've gone through and scored. But that now means every game he's played, both games he's played now, he's made a major mistake and he's cost us a goal. And it's not a big mistake where it's gone unpunished. I remember in his first game, he'd made two or three mistakes that could have ended up with goals. And he's made another one this game as well. So he's continuing to allow big chances to happen through his mistakes. So I don't know whether he needs some more time to kind of get used to that, or he's one of those players who needs game time to get used to it. But we can't keep afford to playing him if he keeps making these mistakes. If Russell Martin gives him a chance, he continues to make these mistakes. We just can't have that in our team. We can't continue to allow big chances and potentially goals from someone continuing to make mistakes. There's other people in the team like Bednarak, who we know wasn't particularly a ball-playing defender, but he's taken it on in his stride. I think he's looking better, and you can see that improvement. Yes, he's not perfect, but he looks quite fairly comfortable now with the ball at his feet. But yeah, again, continued mistakes worries me, and it makes me think that he will kind of drop out of the team a little bit, because again, it's happened twice in a row now. You can't really have that. It needs to change.
Well, I think Russell Martin thought the same as well. He took him off at half-time and brought on Manning, someone that he's relied upon his whole time at Swansea and at the start of his Saints career. And he was probably hoping that more things would happen in the second half. But apart from a chance from Adozie when we were 2-1 down, I think Smallbone curls an effort over as well. He said himself that we didn't really create any chances. Mikey, do you know why that is? Or do you think it was just a bad day in the office in terms of the attacking line? I've given him a really tough question here.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you could go back to probably the last three or four games and go, did we create anything massive? Like Ollie said, did we test the goalkeeper? Did we actually put pressure on Sunderland? And you can't really say we've created a lot. We've had... That's probably the reason why we've scored, two goals in four games. Like, it's... We've struggled to break down low blocks. We've always struggled to break down low blocks. That's how teams used to play against us at St. Mary's in the Premier League, was that they would just stick 11 men behind the ball and then they'd just counter us because they knew that we couldn't break it down. Now, at the moment, we're still struggling to break it down, but when you also have a look at it, Jay Adams had another one-on-one and he missed it. And it's arguably quite a good opportunity of a one-on-one as well, because the goalkeeper is completely out of position and he's backing off towards his goal line. So he's even opening the angle up to you as you approach goal. I think, but apart from that and Adam Armstrong's goal, you can't really say there were many opportunities for us to actually score. So it's a massive worry that we probably created the most against Leicester because of the fact that they were so open and they wanted to play. And Middlesbrough were similar-ish under Michael Carrick in the fact that they wanted to be a little bit open, wanted to play, and actually dominated the ball over us. So it's the first time that we finished under 50% possession, because they kept the ball better, they made more passes, and they wanted to be in possession of the ball. But in these two games, we played two of the more open teams that will play this year when they're in possession. We haven't taken advantage of it. While on the other side, teams are now just setting up lower blocks and just going, let them have the ball, let them take it up to halfway line, and then they'll give it away and there'll be so much space for them to exploit. So that's where we become better at the ball. We're better on the ball around our midfield area. That's where we need to become better, because if we keep turning over the ball and giving away clear opportunities, teams will score from it. But if we become better at halfway, it'll mean that we'll be moving the ball quicker and probably moving the opposition a little bit quicker. We'll open up the spaces in the final third for our players to be able to create from. But I don't know. It just seems like it's a little mismatch. And I don't want to put players down to just being good at one thing. But you think Ryan Fraser made a career out of putting balls into the box for Callum Wilson to run onto and score. And yet we know that we don't have the most effective box. We're not the most effective box crashing team because A, we're not really putting crosses into the box. And B, Che Adams is our biggest player that we're going to have in that box. And he's not massive. He's probably about 5'11", 6 foot. He's not huge. So he will struggle in doing so. And Adam Armstrong, as I've said, has played every single position on the pitch. it's hard for players to be able to create things when they're being asked to do something that is hard to do, like hard to do in that final third, not being used to doing it. So I don't know. I'll be interested to see what the lineup looks like against Leeds. Again, I don't want to take us into Leeds if we're not ready to go into Leeds yet. But I'll be interested to see what the lineup looks like going into Leeds and whether players you haven't really had a look in over the last couple of weeks might be able to get themselves into the side.
I mean, you mentioned Che Adams in that part there, and something that he said to the Daily Echo around signing a new contract and his football overall was, it's difficult to say, we've just come from a busy summer jam-packed with everything everywhere, and it's about getting my head down and scoring goals. I've come off that for the last few weeks. Where do you stand on Che Adams at the moment, Ollie? It seems like since the transfer window's closed, he's had a couple of chances, one against Leicester as well, that Hermansson made quite a good save, like Mikey said, the one against Middlesbrough that he put just past the post. And for us, he's never really been a clinical goal scorer, so I'm not going to put that down to his headspace being anywhere else, because I think he's absolutely committed to the side. But what do you think about this situation?
Yeah, it's obviously, I was very pleased when we kept Che Adams in the transfer window. It felt like a new signing, if that makes sense, because we knew his quality. I put him down at the start of the season. I said, if he stays, I think he'll be his top goal scorer. And I think he still will be. But I think it's very difficult when the rest of the team aren't playing very well. We need to create those opportunities. And he's had a couple of opportunities, like you said, to be able to have a go at goal. And I think he's been doing the right things. Like, he took that chance early in the Middlesbrough game, which I think was the correct thing to do. He just didn't get it on target, which you would have really expected him to do in that position. So I think it's a little low of confidence, but I think he'll have it in the back of his mind, knowing I've done it before, I can do it again. And I've put up a respectable tally in the Premier League as well. So I think in the back of the mind, he knows he should have the confidence to do it. And also as well, if he wants to get back in the Premier League, if Saints don't go up automatically or don't do it in the playoffs, and he wants to go somewhere at the end of his contract, if he wants Premier League interest, then he's got to put up decent numbers in the Championship. I mean, you saw it with the players who went off. You know, Ward-Prowse was still doing the business in the Championship, and he goes to Europa League and there's now getting an assist and a goal or whatever in every appearance. So there's players there that still showed their difference at that level, and Che Adams needs to do that. He needs to prove that he is a level above and he can hit the back of the net, because otherwise those Premier League teams won't come call him.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the amount of assists James Ward-Prowse has got off specifically corners breaks my heart. Yeah. I've got to be honest. It feels like we underutilized him in that. And there's even that weird stereo, the weird thoughts going around that he wasn't very good at corners. I think it was just we weren't very good at scoring. But it's good to see that he's doing well in the Premier League. Right, let's have a look at the game-defining moment. It was the penalty. Taylor Harwood-Bellis pulled someone down in the middle of the box after Charles gave the ball away. And in my eyes, Mikey, I don't know what he was thinking. I know it's a bit of a 50-50 battle in there, but he did drag him right to the floor.
Yeah, the forward had hold of his shirt when running into the box, and then he let go, and Taylor Harwood-Bellis threw him to the floor. Yeah, there wasn't really a lot. Yeah, there's not a lot you can say against that. And that's exactly what the referee just said, is that you've grabbed both shoulders and just heaved him to the floor. And yeah, and it's a bit of a disappointing moment where it came in as well, because the striker's miscontrolled it, maybe due to the fact that he's been pulled to the floor, which is probably obvious. But the ball's going in the other direction at that point, and he's just dragged him down. So yeah, not a lot you can really say against it. And yeah, just a silly thing to do, really.
Yeah, do you think afterwards that we were quite lucky, Ollie, in a sense, not to be on the end of another embarrassing scoreline? Yes, it wasn't a great defeat. 2-1's never nice against a team that hasn't won, but they had plenty of other chances to score. I think they missed a one-on-one, and I think someone smashed the bottom of the post as well. It could have looked a lot worse for Russell Martin and the rest of the team that actually did in the end.
We pushed ourselves on even more. And there's a horrible screenshot of us on the counter, and there's just Ryan Manning back, and they're just swarming us, which kind of, yeah, just proves that we try and push ourselves more and more on and try and create opportunities with the play style to try and make something happen. But if the ball does turn over, all it takes is one sloppy pass or one just not to be quite right. If it's under hit, if it's kind of not done with any conviction, or if it's lazy, if it's a lazy pass, someone could just nip in and then they've got an amazing counter-attack, a perfect counter-attack. I mean, teams probably don't even train a 4v1 or a 4v2 because they probably don't expect that in the game to have that opportunity. And yet we're providing that team to our oppositions. And it really does concern me for, particularly when we went into Leicester game, I was worried, and I'll be concerned going into this week against Leeds as well, that there will be teams with great quality that you cannot give opportunities like that for counter-attacks because they will just put it in. They know with the amount of the players that they have against ours in defence that they will just be able to find a pocket of space and put it in the back of the net. So I understand it, that we're trying to push ourselves and really dominate in possession and commit ourselves. And I respect the bravery. It's brave football, and we're trying to be brave, which is what I like. I like us to try and take a hold of games, but it also leaves us very vulnerable. And if we don't have the players to get back and cover for it, then we can be punished. So, yeah, I think we were lucky, and I think we might see a few more. We're not far in, and we've conceded a lot of goals, but I think there will be some games where when it rains, it pours, and there will be big results. But you'd hope over the course of the season, when it comes right to the very end, it's a net positive, and we do get the benefit out of it. But at the moment, we are seeing a lot of eggs being broken to make an omelette, if you can get over the cliche.
I sort of asked you a similar question earlier, Mikey, but I'm going to reframe it in a different way. Is there a level of concern that Russell Martin hasn't been able to change a game with the likes of Alcaraz, Sulemana, Adozi, and Stuart Armstrong on the bench? When you've got so much talent in the substitutes, you would have thought at least that there'd be more signs of encouragement in the second 45 minutes.
Well, that's the issue is that he's not going to change how he wants to play. So even when he makes the substitutions, it's not like we're going two up front or changing the formation or going to be... It's just changing the personnel and probably just bringing on fresh legs. We're still going to be doing the same thing that we've done beforehand and just hoping that we do it well enough that we score a goal. So I think the expectation around substitutions changing games, especially under Russell Martin, I don't think it's going to be particularly high. Just because of the fact that he's not going to change system unless things are absolutely dire. And if he starts changing systems, that means that it's really, really not going well. The changes that we make, I never expect them to make an impact tactically, but it's just through personnel of trying to change a little bit and a little bit here and there. Like you said, against Leicester, I think Samuel Adozie was one of the better players in the first 45 minutes, and he comes on at half time and brings on Sulemana to add something different. So it's not down to that personnel. It's down to like just changing it and seeing what one person can do over another. So yeah, I'm not really expecting many changes unless it is like Charlie Alcaraz coming on for Flynn Dowles and it's a complete personnel change. I'm not expecting anything really tactically to change whether we're winning or losing.
And before we move on to the next game, I asked Mikey this question last week, Ollie, and the situation really hasn't changed that much. So I'll ask it to you this. Is it still about being patient with Russell Martin? Obviously, I've seen a load of people say that they've had enough of him already. In my opinion, that's absolute rubbish. But what do you think on the situation?
I understand the frustrations. And I think the thing for me is, if the football was not working, but we still picked up points, I think everyone would still be on board. I think the reason why everyone's the red flags are waving and stuff like that is because out of a potential 12 points we could have picked up, we've got nothing out of all of them. And I think the individual mistakes make it bitter as well to those results, because if you think, oh, well, if we just didn't make that one mistake, then we would have had this result or we would have had that result, which I understand. The thing is, for me, hopefully those mistakes, like Mikey mentioned previously, if they get ironed out and we do start playing the football, it's going to be great. And that's what's keeping me patient. You said about that patient, it's that if it clicks, it's going to be amazing to watch. And a lot of Swansea fans said it, that initially there will be mistakes and it will take time to learn. But if you give it enough patience, then you will be rewarded. And that's really what I'm clinging on to. It's just, how long do you wait before you don't end up seeing it? We need to see it at some point. I don't know how long it's going to take before it comes round. And I do really worry about Leeds on the weekend. But yeah, there's still the optimist in me is still in there somewhere. It's been battered down after like two difficult seasons, some hard results, but it is still in there somewhere. And hopefully everyone else can give it a little while longer, look for those signs, and fingers crossed in a little while we'll have some great football to watch.
I mean, the Southampton board clearly saw something in Russell Martin. And if he's gone from MK Dons to Swansea, then Swansea to us, that's an upgrade all the way through his career. And I imagine he's an ambitious guy as well. So if he keeps doing well, he'll go past us. It's just at the moment, I want to see an improvement game on game or through a period of different games. I haven't really seen too much difference between Sunderland and Middlesbrough. Yes, we haven't conceded as many goals in that time, but it's still those individual mistakes that need to be ironed out. But hopefully that's done with time. And now it's time to talk about the two games that are coming up. It's Leeds United and it's Stoke City. And we'll start with the one on Saturday, the 12:30 kickoff. We're on Sky once again, and that's had mixed results for us so far this season. Mikey, what are your thoughts ahead of the game?
Leeds have just been consistent. Like, they've lost one game to Birmingham in the 90th minute, I think it was, as well. It was a very, very late loss. And they've got three wins and four draws. So they're very much consistent. They're not going to be a team that batters sides, but they're coming off the back of a fantastic win against Watford. They really dominated and they look quite good. And it probably was their best creative performance, I would say. This season, of course, we're coming up against Southampton's top goal scorer this season, Joel Perreault. so definitely looking forward to see how he does and what he had to offer that maybe we've missed out on. But no, we're expecting Leeds to come down and put on a really good performance. But hopefully they'll be one of these teams that we'll look to play. You know, Daniel Farke, who down at Norwich, he'd look to play at every occasion, and they'd get title-winning teams from that. But hopefully that leaves them slightly exposed for us to be able to play through transitions, fingers crossed. But they're two squads that, even though they've changed quite a bit, two squads that are going to be incredibly fit, will want to press, will want to engage, and want to really take the game by the scruff of the neck. So I'm quite excited to watch the game. It's going to be probably a little bit end-to-end, like Leicester was, I would say. But hopefully we can just put in a good performance and, fingers crossed, come away with something. And I mean, clean sheet, anyone who's going to say that, but no, we'll see.
Yeah, I can't see a clean sheet personally. Mikey said that it's another tough fixture, but doesn't it seem like all of them are at the moment? I look at that October period and you look at Preston and think they weren't that great last season, but they're top of the league, they're unbeaten. You look at Rotherham and you think they're not great, but they did beat Norwich, for example, who did get battered by Plymouth, but they were quite good at the start. You look at the likes of Hull City, you think, oh, they weren't that great last season. They've beaten Leicester, they're doing really well. I think they're in the playoffs at the moment. It feels like every game serves a different challenge and there's no respite for Russell Martin. There's not a game where he can just go in, get the 3 points and turn the confidence around.
I agree. I don't know where... I was looking at it, I was thinking, I'm not too confident about the Leeds. And I was like, maybe Stoke is the one where we can really impose ourselves. And I was thinking, well, Stoke have got young players, young squad. The manager is trying to get things going there. They're not having a great start of the season, but, you know, there could still be a danger. And then, like you said, I was looking down the fixture list that you just said there. And I was going, God, October is not going to be fun. We've really got to focus on ourselves, I think, and say we're going to be the best that we can be. And who we're playing, it doesn't matter, because we're gonna play our style of football and we're going to create chances. I think that's how we have to look at it. It's unfortunate that we've lost four in a row, because it's very difficult to do that and be confident in our abilities because of the recent losses that we've had. But yeah, I think we need to start possibly trying to not focus so much on who we're playing and try and believe in ourselves a bit more. Like I say, hard to do that with the recent results, but... if we can put up a good performance with Leeds that we can kind of be proud of and then go into the Stoke game, I think that would set us so much better to turn around this current result of, I don't know, what would you call it? I don't know. A rocky patch? Is that putting it nicely? I don't know.
Four defeats on the bounce. Yeah, four defeats on the bounce. It's a rocky patch, I would say.
Yeah. So I think it's so vital that we get a result at Leeds and then push on at Stoke and get back onto winning ways. We need to start picking up 3 points, because that will massively push us up the table. That's the most important thing, to go to a game and take the maximum that you can is really, I think, what will kick on our season. But yeah, so I think we need a result from Leeds, steady the ship, and then really push on to Stoke.
Well, I'll smash the two games together. There's a Saturday and it's a Tuesday. If you were Russell Martin, Mikey, how would you prepare for these two games? Would you think about your two separate team selections? Would you look at the squad, how you utilise it over this October period where there's a host of games before the international break and after as well? How would you look ahead to Leeds and Stoke, almost as a pair of games?
I always have said that you've got to start with the strongest lineup you possibly can. So that's what I'd go for, is we'd go and play Leeds, see what the situation is afterwards, and then go and prepare for Stoke the game after. You always take one game at a time, as they always say on the post-match, isn't it? If you get a good result, it's like, oh, it's only one game at a time, lads. We don't want to get too carried away. So that would be what I would go for. I think it'll be interesting to see what Martin decides to do with the starting 11. We know Mason Holgate was brought in for the Middlesbrough game to almost act like a centre-half. Well, he was a centre-half playing at left-back. It wasn't to act like a centre-half playing at left-back, but it was to hope that in possession, when we play with that 3-2-5, that we have a natural centre-half playing in that Nathan Ake left-centre-half role, while instead of Ryan Manning tucking in, who looked a little bit unnatural, even though that's what he did for Swansea for the last 3 or 4 years. So I think that's the reason why that change was made. Obviously, Russell Martin didn't feel like it worked because he got subbed at 45 minutes. So maybe that could be a little bit of a... that could have been the change of Holgate played at right back, not left back, discount that. He did get taken off, and Carl Walker-Peters would moved on to his more natural side as well. So maybe that was something to change and differ in that build-up shape. Maybe we're not going to be building up in the back three if we do play Ryan Manning. Who knows? But what would your expectation be, Harry? What would your thoughts be going into the game? How would you want us to set up?
Flipped it around.
Well, I'm not used to answering questions on this podcast. Normally I fire them out and just
I thought I'd get you involved.
Knows the answer. I think I'm similar to Ollie, that I probably wouldn't chuck Alcaraz straight into the deep end. I think Russell Martin's slowly trying to get him used to everything that's going on. I wouldn't change too much. I definitely wouldn't play Holgate again, just because I don't know where his mental state is at this very current time. I try and put the most experience as I can on the pitch, have a team that looks similar to the game that did against Sheffield Wednesday. I know obviously Jack Stevens is injured, Teller's not here, James Ward-Prowse isn't on the pitch, but I don't have any trust in the Harwood, Bellis, Charles centre-back combination, not that we played it last game, simply because I don't think they... as a combination, they're too young. They don't have maybe someone that puts their hand up and goes, "You know, I'm going to be the leader of this back four," even though Harwood Bellis was the captain of a clean sheet, phenomenal under 21 team. And with the midfield, I just want there to be a level of balance. I'd of course want Stuart Armstrong to be in there, but then do you think ahead of the game against Stoke City, maybe a more winnable fixture? I don't know. And with the attack, I'd want Adams up front. I want Armstrong on one side, and I want to see Adozie back in that side starting. I still don't think Suleimana's fully fit and raring to go. I've had questions over him simply because he's not had a pre-season, and maybe that's the problem with Harwood Bellis at centre-back. He's not had a very good start overall because he didn't really get any pre-season. I think people underestimate how crucial it is to be able to have that key part before the start of a season. I think a lot of people think they could just put together a team that looks really nice on a pitch, but like it's FIFA, where you can just put the highest rated players together, not care about the background. Maybe if they're not fit enough, maybe they've not had enough look at the tactics, maybe they, you know, they've not had enough game time on the pitch. Just have people together that just work and know the system, and players that Russell Martin trusts. And I think that's the main thing, really. If he trusts the team that have gone out on the pitch and he has no qualms over it, then I find it difficult to question the person that's been on the training pitch overall. Like, I had obvious questions about Carlos Alcaraz, like most people did for the last couple of weeks. But as soon as he came out and delivered the reasons why that he's not playing, I think everyone should respect looking away from just football. There's so many things that can alter someone's brain going into a game. You've seen it with the likes of Dele Alli and Jesse Lingard. But people don't really think about that when it's their own player. They sort of look at it when it's a different team's player. They can sort of understand. But when it affects their own team, well, that makes a complete difference, and they sort of forget about that overall. So, yeah, whatever looks good in training, I guess, just don't put Sekumara on the wing. Just give him a bit of time out as well, because I've not been impressed with him. But yeah, just that's my overall thoughts on the teams that should face Leeds and then Stoke. And I think it's time to predict the scores as well. We're going to put both of them together, well, separately, but back to back. And I'll start with Leeds. Ollie, what do you think the score's going to be?
2-2. I'm keeping the faith. I think it'll be a draw. No, do I think it'll be a draw? I want it to be a draw.
So, Mikey, what do you think's going to happen in the Leeds game?
1-1. Go for that. We're not keeping a clean sheet. We're hopefully going to score, fingers crossed. But with the lack of creativity we've shown over the last couple of games and the struggle we've had, then it's going to be tough. But hopefully, as I said, Leeds will be a little bit more open. And then we're playing Stoke away on a Tuesday night. So that's where we really get to prove ourselves. Yeah. So, yeah, hopefully it'll be a 1-1 against Leeds, or just a result to build on. That'll be the hope, just to try and cut out the losing streak.
Do you know what? I'm going to stick with a 1-1 as well. I think we're going to get another point on the board. And when we all predict draws, I think inside we all think we're going to lose. Moving on to the game against Stoke City. Ollie, what do you think the score is going to be?
Well, I don't want to use the old cliche. I can't believe no one's done it so far in the fact that we have Stoke on a Tuesday. So I'm going to resist and not make the joke. But I think we are going to get a result there. And I think it'll be a 2-1 win.
And Mikey?
Yeah, I did some research into this. The last time that we beat Stoke at the Britannia Stadium was when Graziano Pella scored his brace, I believe it was, and we won 2-1. It was in that lovely green kit with the black slash. Mm. It was that one where we won 2-1, I think, in the end, and Pella scored his... was it his only brace for the club? Or, like, I don't know, maybe, could not be, no idea. But yeah, no, so that's the last time that we actually beat Stoke away from home. So we'll see. I'm going to go for a 2-1, I think. Oh, hopefully we'll get the win. But again, it's all a little bit up in the air at the moment just because of the fact that we're still getting used to how things are.
Do you know what? I'm going to go for a 2-0. It's going to be our first clean sheet of the season. Stoke are very up and down, so they could be fantastic or they could be awful. They're that sort of team that, however they feel on the night, there's no level of consistency behind them, and I hope we catch them cold on the Tuesday. But that's all we've got time for this week's episode of the podcast. Of course, we reviewed the awful game against Middlesbrough, the fourth championship loss in a row, before previewing games against Leeds and Stoke City. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave us a 5-star review on Spotify and also a review on Apple Podcasts as well. It helps us a lot. I've been Harry Tizard. I've been joined by Mikey Maidment.
Goodbye.
Ollie Boast.
Thank you very much for listening.
Hopefully next week we'll be reviewing two big wins in the championship that get us back on course for the playoffs or even automatic promotion, and preview a big game on the weekend as well. We'll see you next week.